This is Jesus' parable of the wicked tenants. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit doesn't guide the lectionary. Listen carefully and remember the events of this week. The Word of God. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of this, his holy word. Again, will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank you for those very challenging words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A very strange parable. Finally, he sent his son to them saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." Strange, strange parable from Jesus. Why in the world did our Lord tell such a story? Before we answer that very serious theological question, let us laugh together for just a few moments. Please, Lord, let us laugh together with a wonderful story from Michael Battle, who is an Episcopal priest and a professor at General Theological Seminary in New York City. Reverend Battle relates a funny narrative from our African-American brothers and sisters. For many little black boys growing up in the city, summer is a time to go and spend time with grandma who lives out in the country. One day, little Johnny Jones arrived at his grandma's house, and grandma said, "We are going to have a great summer together, Johnny, but you listen up. Next Sunday, after church, the good pastor is coming to our house for lunch, and I want you to be on your best behavior." So over and over again throughout the week, Grandma quizzed little Johnny. Now, when the preacher comes to the table, Johnny, he's going to ask you your name. What are you going to say? Johnny Jones. He's going to ask you how old you are. What are you going to say? 6 years. And he's going to ask you, where do bad boys go? They go to hell. Very good, Johnny. And also remember not to talk so much when preacher's at the table. Well, the big day came and the good pastor came to Grandma's house for lunch. And this big dude was seated next to little Johnny. As they dined together, Johnny got more and more nervous. And finally, the big preacher turned to Johnny and asked him, "Son, what is your name?" "Johnny Jones." And Johnny got more and more nervous. "Johnny Jones, I'm 6 years old. Now you go to hell and don't talk too much." Maybe sometimes those first century disciples felt like little Johnny Jones, nervous about understanding everything that Jesus was teaching them. Because the reality was, soon Jesus would no longer be with his followers physically. So how could Jesus prepare them to understand his coming death and resurrection? How could he teach them about the need to embrace Jesus' view of God's kingdom? And one way Jesus did that was through his parables, word pictures, which conveyed certain truths. But those of you who want to reflect on this parable some more, jot down these four bullets and take them home with you and ponder. Within this strange-sounding parable, it's the notion of the long-suffering love of God, by how many times God sent, the master sent slaves to the vineyard. Another one is the incredible sinfulness of the human race, as we found out this past week. The centrality and finality of sending his son. And the last bullet, the urgency and awfulness of God's judgment. There's nothing really new here about how loving and patient God is. Look back in 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 36, verses 15 and 16. Listen to this. Back in the Old Testament. "The Lord, the God of their ancestors, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord against his people became so great that there was no remedy." Jesus wants to impress upon his followers the incredible love and patience of his heavenly Father. We are so incredibly evil, but God is so incredibly loving and kind and patient. Look how many slaves the landowner sent his tenants over and over. But each time, the mean old tenants killed them until the landowner finally sent his son, only to have his son killed by the evil tenants. Our age is filled with all kinds of evil and hatred. For as long as I live, I will never understand the events of this past Sunday night in Las Vegas. A psychopathic accountant opens gunfire on a country music crowd, and we struggle to understand such madness. The world totters on nuclear destruction, and you and I are powerless to bring down the rhetoric. A White Lives Matter rally is planned for October 28th in Shelbyville, Tennessee, with some of the same groups who brought so much joy and celebration to the city of Charlottesville in August. How do we get from all this evil and flip it to good? Everybody here knows the answer. By Jesus Christ. Jesus who shows us a new way to live. A life built upon acts of love and kindness and patience and mercy. A life built upon God's faithfulness, which continues to love us and be patient with us, because that's the way God is. And through Jesus, God continues to show us how love and forgiveness are way stronger than hatred and bitterness. Now, I laugh at little Johnny Jones, but we don't have to be nervous, little Johnny Jones, when it comes to living out our days. God is in charge. God will see us through. And you can bet your life on it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, when we get filled with stress and anxiety and despair, and we seem like a people with no hope, remind us that we follow a risen Lord. And remind us to once again embrace the hope and love and forgiveness you give to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, hear the words of your church. May we continue to hold on to you as you, more importantly, hold on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.